Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
The Around the NFL podcast. Are too lazy to write their own money tags.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and woman?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
What up?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Dan.
A great stint the last couple of weeks on HQ. NFL Network's morning show.
Thank you.
Which kind of took you out of the podcast rotation a little bit, and also
that's what you're telling yourself.
Well, you took yourself out of the softball lineup. Too.
That's true.
Could have.
Well, I was sleeping during that time.
It's not an easy schedule, as we've talked about, but you did very well.
Thanks.
I think you're going to be a star in this industry.
Is that right?
That's what I think.
That's wonderful. All right, I'm glad you think that.
It's big to get Dan's stamp of approval. I'm still waiting for it.
That's not true. How's everybody doing yesterday? It was Father's Day, of course. And now we are in the dark period. Amazing. We'll talk about a little bit. One of the great sports events of recent times, Game 7 of the NBA Finals. The Cleveland Cavaliers coming out on top. That was fun. How's everybody else doing?
Couldn't be better, Dan.
Mark on vacation, by the way, for everyone.
Ooh.
Again.
Is he somewhere cool?
All week.
I thought that was a joke.
He's in New York.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's definitely not cool. It's hot as heck.
I saw a lot of people tweeting at him that they were happy for him and all other Clevelanders.
Yeah.
Common misconception.
Mark, not from Cleveland.
No connection to
As he points
Ohio.
Out on this podcast all the time, but it's just still.
He might have spent like 6 days of his life in Cleveland.
Yeah. So Mark is away. Colleen filling the chair. We have a lot to get to. Not a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. And yet we continue to find things to talk about.
There's so much of it.
I know. Today's show, we will be talking about a segment called Now What? In which we each lay out a plausible scenario that could put a team that is involved in said scenario in a very difficult position when it comes to organizational decision-making. Greg, is that a good way to put that?
That is correct, and we should give Christopher Bonner some credit here, because that was just a text or a tweet he sent me over the weekend with this segment.
You got hit with a bond bomb.
He called it "What do we do now?" So we shortened it a little, but same idea.
We took his idea, changed it a little bit,
tweaked,
and took all the credit, and we will monetize it eventually down the line, and he'll have no footing in the court of law.
Bone Dog, 1978, great handle.
Bone Dog,
Bone Dog,
good for you, Boney. So we'll talk about that. Now what? And we will get into a little NBA and NFL talk. Because just to pull back the curtain a little bit, and Colleen, this will be news to you as well. When we were putting together the show initially this morning, Wes was a little underwhelmed.
Okay.
I gave the show a pre-show grade of D.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, that rubbed Greg the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, you know, one day Greg might not be our boss and we'll look back on these times. And this will be like one of those times like, oh, wow, Greg, good boss work.
Yeah.
Because what did Greg do? He shouted down upon Wes. He said, well, if you don't like the show, make it better. Come up with a seg.
A challenge. I like that.
Threw down the gauntlet.
It's LeBron level leadership out of Greg.
Well, yeah. Well,
very masculine.
To pull the curtain back, there's been a power play with.
We already pulled the curtain.
There's so
back.
Many curtains in here.
There's another curtain being pulled back
behind this curtain. What a weird stage setup.
And and there's been a power play going on within the company where another boss has, you know, decided to take over and be Wes's boss. So I'm trying to step up my game.
Wes is kind of sneaky subservient.
Really?
Yeah, well, because now you got all these different levels of bosses.
There's a lot of bosses.
And you're answering to all of them.
I never consider myself sneaky subservient.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I think I'm a team player, though.
Yeah.
Wow, for sure. Whether it's on the diamond for the shield, whether it's in the office. Chris, that's the guy you want on the hill.
That's true. I'm back.
Give him the sword.
I'm coming back. I know everybody was worried.
I'll believe it when I see it. Put it that way.
As Thursday the manager night, I'm of the there.
Shield, I have not seen Colleen in 2 months.
I had HQ. I was away.
You remain the only teammate I've ever played with who has attempted to have Postmates deliver a case of beer to left center field.
We were losing.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
We needed it.
It endeared you to me forever.
But before we do any of that, let's check behind the glass. And I will give a, even though Wes is not thinking highly of the show, pre-grade show.
Pre-show grade.
Uh-oh.
Pre-show grade.
It's going well.
A minus.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. No way.
Yep.
Whoa. Do you feel confident about it?
Nope.
Okay.
Irishman behind the glass. What's up, buddy?
Did you just give that high grade because Mark isn't here?
Well, you know, his little minions can report it back to him.
Okay. All right. Well, here. Over. Hold on. Let me write this down real quick then.
Wow. Just outed yourself.
Or did I?
No, you did.
You know what? I wish I was hired. He didn't even think of me to hire.
Okay. All right, Brandon. Let's get out of the weeds here. A couple things. Number one, a lot of you know, Irish is now on Twitter. What is your handle?
At the ATN Irishman.
At the ATN Irishman. We kind of gave, you know, Brandon's a young millennial.
Wasn't on Twitter before?
No. After the softball game. We sat him down over some beers, and we said, Brandon, you are the producer of the best NFL podcast on the internet. Get on Twitter.
All in.
You got to get out in front of this if you want to build the Irishman brand. And he took us up on it.
Good job. I'm proud
Day
of
later.
You.
It only took about 3 months, but.
So the Irish is on Twitter. So make sure you follow him.
3 months. It's been like 6-7 years since Twitter's been popular.
A challenge to all our listeners to follow the Irishman. What is it again?
At the ATN Irishman.
At the ATN Irishman. I think his first set of tweets will all be based around the complete discography of Sugar Ray.
I had to defend myself against some people.
Yeah, weird time to get on Twitter, by the way, right after you like went to the post for Sugar Ray in an unironic way.
That let's just say I'm glad I missed that part of the show.
He's been getting it from all corners.
Let's do some news.
Football is like rock and roll. It's just boom, boom, boom. And basketball is like jazz.
Nice drop.
That's a good one.
Pick up the chisels. Let's start with the Los Angeles Rams, our local football team here in Los Angeles now. Steve Wyche, who is a reporter for NFL Media, was on Total Access on Thursday, and he said that Goff, the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft, has a long way to go before he's ready to be an NFL quarterback. Wyche had this to say: Jared Goff is nowhere near being ready to start week one. He's only had off-season workout practices, but he's swimming in it. Mm. Greg. What does that mean? Do you put any stock into that, or is that a little bit of a red flag for you?
I don't overrate it and panic that he's not ready to play after non-padded practices, but I think this situation is so much different than a normal first-round pick situation where you know he's supposed to be out there day one starting, you're in a new city, and so he has to be ready sooner than Carson Wentz should be ready. And from what Steve said, I think Jared Goff is struggling to adapt to the NFL and struggling to convince those around him that he's going to be ready anytime soon. And that's normal, but you still got a game to play in 6 or 7 weeks, and you don't want Case Keenum playing that game.
Yeah, it worries me that he's not ready, and defenses are going to be stacking the box because they know that Todd Gurley is basically, they're going to be running the offense through him. So I'm worried about how many interceptions Jared Goff is going to end up throwing this season and if that's going to mess with him mentally too.
Well, the worst-case scenario would be he throws zero interceptions because he can't beat out Case Keenum to play. And you don't want to panic, but you don't trade what they gave up to have Jeff Fisher say this sentence going into training camp. Case is our starter right now, so Case needs the first-team reps.
Oof.
You traded all those picks so you can give Goff the first-team reps and get him ready to play.
Right, so on one hand, I think don't overreact. You know, Aaron Rodgers had a miserable first training camp in his NFL career, and there's many stories like that. On the other hand, I don't think you should ignore it either. When Jeff Fisher says he doesn't want to mess up the reps, to me that is saying we don't think Case that Jared Goff is playing well right now and is ready at all. Like, that quote alone confirms Steve Wyche's report. Not that I needed it. We talked to Steve too off the air, and I think it's just something that it's clearly coming slowly to Goff, and that everyone around the team and on the team is kind of noticing so far.
I was going to cue you up for that. Didn't you think, talking to Steve behind the scenes, that he could have even been stronger in this report?
Sure. I mean, this was from a NFL Total Access hit, and he did say that he's nowhere ready to start right now and that he's swimming. And that's essentially what he was telling me as well.
So things are not going according to the plan they would have laid out.
Well, Goff, I think one of the pluses is he was more pro ready, and that's always tricky to.
I never know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, because you would think that means intellectually, but it's different learning pro system.
Wouldn't you hope anyone that you draft is pro ready?
you would hope so.
You would like that.
I mean, regardless, it means that Hard Knocks is going to be that much better.
Yeah, it's a great point. If it starts getting awkward, where he's drowning in practices,
it.
And then the preseason, he's turning into, what was that guy in San Francisco, Bruno Giacomi or whatever?
Giacomini.
Brady draft. That would be Greek tragedy.
Oh, Giovanni Carmazzi. Bruno Giacomini.
That's the
Camini
tackle for the Jets.
Yeah, it's the right tackle on the Jets.
Let's move on and talk about another quarterback that does have his stuff together. He is Cam Newton, who had this to say. He told the Charlotte Observer about where he has to grow after winning the MVP and the NFC title last season. I haven't peaked. I haven't climaxed as a player.
Hmm.
Phrasing.
And that's what I need to get better at. Wes, a big Cam Newton fan you are. Do you think Cam Newton can get better, or did we see the best Cam Newton has to offer last season?
I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, I don't have a hot take on whether Cam Newton's going to get better or worse. Like, no quarterback in the history of the game has ever stayed at an MVP level for like 8 straight years. So you would think by his age and his obvious talent, he should be ascendant. But how many things went right for the Panthers last year? Just about everything outside of Kelvin Benjamin's injury.
Well, I think the inclusion of this item was what really impacted Chris's pre-show D-plus grade.
Well, I just have no opinion. Like, it's hard for me to imagine anyone having an opinion on this.
Well, I think we haven't talked about Cam Newton all offseason. I do think it's interesting to think that he took a big, big step forward last year, and that's part of what made the Panthers so great. So is he going to be able to maintain that sort of level of consistency, especially in the second half of the year? He was a house on fire. Or is he going to be somewhere in between 2015 and where he was the rest of his career, which is still a great Pro Bowl type of quarterback, but they're going to have to improve elsewhere.
Plus, we have opinions all the time on players, whether they'll regress or take the next step.
My
superstar club, we just had a conversation.
From where I'm coming from, though, like, what about Cam Newton would – what news coming out of Charlotte, or what's happened to him this offseason, that would make you think he would be any different than last year?
Maybe it's just like a mental thing, though, too. I mean, even if it's not physically, because he had such a great year and he improved on so many things, maybe just the experience of going through all the highs of last season and then the lowest low, and then everything that he got, all the slack he sort of got after the Super Bowl for that, maybe that is going to help him improve.
Well, I'm just taking it from the vantage point of the last 2 years when we were entering the season, it's a debate. Is Cam Newton a top 10 quarterback? Now he's the unquestioned MVP. And I'm just curious, as a fan, I've been, I think, among the biggest Cam Newton fans out there since the day he entered the league. I think he's going to be great, but I think it's always tough to follow up the year that you truly broke out. And he truly broke out last year.
If he does take another step, he's now encroaching on the territory of an all-time great type player. I mean, last season, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He ran the football well. He always did that. 10 touchdowns, took his team to the Super Bowl. I mean, if he goes up another level, we're talking about a potentially historic player, if he's not already that now.
And somehow all of that clicked without having Kelvin Benjamin and all of his guys. That offense, when we looked at it, we were like, at least I was like, how is he going to do this at the beginning of the season? He's going to be throwing to Ted Ginn. And then it ended up working somehow.
And Devin Funchess, and we'll see, it's just OTA reports, but they're – people watching the Panthers practice think Devin Funchess is a totally different player than he was a year ago. So you get him, you get Benjamin. Those guys will help Cam Newton look better.
I think the highest compliment you can give Cam Newton is – this sentence he uttered last year about this time and everyone laughed at it, but he backed it up. I don't think people have seen what I am or what I'm trying to do. And he went out and backed it up and had one of the most unique seasons in NFL history.
So we don't think that he's climaxed.
I mean, do you really have to use that word, Cam? It's like a weird word.
Did Cam Newton climax? That's the question.
Phrasing?
I think you could, you know, send your ire, Colleen, towards Dan, who's now said it three times, by bringing it up over and over
they
again.
They just climaxed already.
Do you think this podcast has climaxed?
Maybe.
The pod, no.
Let's move on.
Phrasing?
No, let's move on. Move on. The Carrie Underwood song, for Christ's sake.
No,
wrong one. Put down the chisels.
That's why we have a.
This is a mess.
Oh my God.
This is because of climax.
On our Slack, no, on our I am client.
Oh.
All right, I didn't hit enter.
Record.
You're all baboons. Now. All right. Sad news. Lower that mess. Waiting All Day for Sunday Night is dead, guys. The Sunday Night Football theme song, which has been used in various iterations since NBC took over the Sunday Night Football package in 2006. They're dumping the song. In its place, guys. Colleen, I know you're a big country music fan. A number one hit on the Billboard charts in 2014. It will be a variation of this song, Something Bad.
Oh, God, no. Why can't we update this?
How is that country music?
It's not real.
It's very poppy.
Yeah. Well, that's what Carrie...
There's nothing country about this song.
Wait, listen. There's a little twang, though. That's Miranda Lambert.
This there's is no a, bent note beauty. Come on.
I mean, it's fine. Carrie Underwood is great. She's very talented. But if they're updating the song, why don't they update the person doing it too? Maybe they do something. Maybe they switch it up
I'm
a little.
Yeah, that's
what about like throwing Beyonce in there?
So Beyonce
about,
would
like,
never do it.
Why don't
why
we get all like the living members of Wu-Tang Clan in there?
Whoa, I like that. Right? Get Wu-Tang in there. That's possible.
How is Beyonce? Too big for Monday night or Sunday night football.
She would never, she would
Beyonce
never.
Is the biggest star in the world.
She would never do it.
Football's the biggest star in the world.
You wouldn't have enough money.
Two big stars coming together.
Dude, she, you know,
listen, football's huge.
She wouldn't do it.
She is now ascended past doing some TV
or,
show.
Or you bring back someone that's already shown that she succeeds in the in the space.
You're going to say it.
Priyanka. I mean, Priyanka's done it.
What a great song.
Wait, you hate the JT song? Would you like this
This
song?
Is great. This is the best like TV.
You are a walking contradiction, Wessling.
This is all just a giant
You're going to like it in my
Colleen.
City.
You guys dancing
it,
right now is it, like, I'm sorry
I'm
that all the listeners cannot see this. I know. It's so good.
It's too late.
I'm stopping.
All right.
Colleen, you might not even remember. Do you remember this song?
No.
All right.
Okay. Well, it
but
was.
But I don't remember a lot.
It was the famous intro for NFL Network.
Not famous at all.
I mean, famous around the world. People tuned in just to watch the Priyanka intro for a couple seasons on NFL Network Thursday Night Football a few years back. Mm.
So I was partial to that. Greg, you love that song. That was a Thursday Night Football song. It disappeared after a couple of years. And now we have Something Bad. That will be the new theme. They're going to rework.
Something Bad?
Yeah.
Really?
That's to the truth.
Well, that's great.
They're going to rework the lyrics. That will be the new theme song. By the way, listening to that song, in all honesty, Something Bad, I could hear it as like a TV show open. I could hear it.
Yeah, but it doesn't get you guys dancing.
Well,
and that, oh, ooh, maybe it does.
this is brutal.
Can't you picture it, though?
I can picture it now.
So it does kind of work like that.
My concern, though, is that they'll lose the integrity of some of the greatest lyrics that have ever happened, like the NBC Sunday Night Football song. Like, Al and Chris are the best on TV. You know, whoever's writing those sort of lyrics.
Well, when the best was when they shoehorned Michelle into it. It was like, Al and Chris and Michelle
it's
are the
so
best
weird.
On TV.
I know. it's all awkward. All
right. So anyway, new song coming up, starting with week one, Patriots-Cardinals. Let's move on. The Cleveland Cavaliers are the NBA champions. They claim game 7, 93-89 over the Warriors, wiping out a 3-1 deficit historic win. Really sad that Cleveland's native son, Mark Sessler, is not here to share his feelings on this game or the series. But Cleveland ends a sports drought for their major pro teams that stretched all the way back to 1964, ending that curse. People said it was a curse. It wasn't a curse. It wasn't a jinx. But it was a long, long dry spell. And by the way, I have a Sessler I just want to share right now.
Oh.
Speaking of Mark Sessler. This win by Cleveland, the karma around the city will lead to, now you got the title for the NBA team. The Indians, no one's paying attention, but they're in first place. They're going to go on a deep run because all this good buzz around the city, mm-hmm. all the way to the ALCS, and the Browns, yes, on paper, perhaps a 2-14 team. They're going to squeak out 7 wins and have some meaningful December football games. Bring it. Cleveland's back in the house, baby.
7 wins.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Wow.
If karma was only capable of giving a 7-9 season, I would not be very impressed
with
karma.
Karma just gave them a
You know who I'm talking about?
A painful playoff loss for the baseball team and an under 500 football team. They're used to that.
What, do you want me
That's
to send them to Super
already.
Bowl 51? I'm yeah, not going to do that.
You're changing the karma.
Quite a Sessler.
Jose Mesa comes in and I don't
Joe
know.
Joe Table.
7 wins would be miraculous for this Browns team. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they have probably the least impressive roster in the NFL.
So I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of buzz, and that will be one of the biggest sports stories. Mm-hmm. of the Browns are going to be like 7-8 in a surprisingly watered-down AFC North fighting for a playoff spot, and then, you know, they're not going to pull it off, but they'll be in the mix.
Yeah, Joe Hayden said he's using it as motivation.
I love that. And since we're on this topic, we'll now throw it to Wes, who, you know, he had some negative things to say about today's show, and then the boss put him on the spot. Why don't you set this up, Wes? What are we talking about next?
Well, I think, in my mind, LeBron's performance in the finals cemented his status as the number 2 basketball player of all time behind Michael Jordan.
Wow. This is coming from Wes, who's always been very critical of LeBron.
No, I'm critical of people who would put LeBron in the same conversation with Jordan when he had no business in that conversation. But I think now he's number 2. Jordan is so far alone at the top. The NFL does not have a Jordan. A lot of people consider Jim Brown, but some other people consider Joe Montana or Tom Brady or Lawrence Taylor the best. But I think in the pantheon of the NBA, to me, it goes Jordan, LeBron, Bill Russell, Kareem, and then kind of a Bird Magic tie at 5.
Hmm.
In the NFL.
No love for Wilt in there.
Well, I think Wilt's right in that next conversation.
Whoa, where's your boy Tim Duncan?
He's right there with Wilt and Oscar Robertson right after that. And I'm not putting Kobe in the top 8, sorry.
Okay.
I put Hakeem Olajuwon over Kobe.
Did you put Kareem in there?
I put Kareem 4th. You could put him 3rd if you want to. I don't know. But I think LeBron's number 2. In my mind, and what he was able to pull off, I mean, this is the stuff of, like, classic literature, like Homer's Odyssey. Every culture on Earth has a hero's journey kind of myth. And LeBron starts out, goes to Cleveland. He's a native son. He stars in his hometown, has adversity, kind of quits on the game against the Celtics. Everybody's down on him. He has the decision, which was a bad idea. So he's got no kind about it. He's got all these battles you have to fight before you slay the final dragon, and last night was the final dragon. He emerged victorious. That's the stuff of literature.
And not just to come back, not that I like to bring it up, but like the 2004 ALCS with the Red Sox, they didn't just get the monkey off their back. They had to do it in a grand way by coming back on the Yankees. That's what LeBron did. Not only did he come back to Cleveland and fulfill his prophecy or his promise, he wiped out a 73-win team, winning 3 straight games, including 2 on the road, and the block, the legendary play. I agree. I got to put him in the top 3. I don't know.
How about this? You've got in Cleveland the drive, John Elway's drive, the fumble, Ernest Byner's fumble, the decision, LeBron's decision, the shot, Michael Jordan's shot to knock the Cavs out of the playoffs, and now you've got the chase down block.
Yeah.
LeBlock.
LeBlock? Is that what they're calling it?
Some people call it that.
LeBlock. LeBlanc. Because my love of Friends, the television.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I have a lot to contribute to this whole conversation. I do like you have Dr. J on there. I want to.
You're not an NBA fan?
I mean, not really. John's more of an NBA fan. I mean, I would say
Sixers are a pretty depressing franchise the last
so that hasn't
25
helped
years.
But
this,
at all.
This game, and it definitely
except for
Allen. Yeah, Allen Iverson.
It didn't hurt that, you know, I was rooting for Cleveland. Not I was jumping on, you know, the bandwagon. I have no history there. But this was one of the most enjoyable non-NFL, you know, I'm putting NFL to the side, but most enjoyable fun sporting events to watch that I can remember in the last 25 years.
I feel like this year's playoffs has had several moments like that.
Right. But
a lot
this,
of blowouts,
but,
too.
But the but. Game, but game seven, which it was a weird final 5 minutes, but the game itself was
it was an
fantastic.
Game.
And the last 5 minutes are so tense that, you know, you're not worrying about some, you know, strange plays going on. I mean, that was one of the most exciting, just awesome things I've ever watched
it.
As a sports fan.
What better Father's Day gift, too? Like, that was something to look forward to all day. And I, just by luck, my wife's best friend was visiting from Texas, and her husband was at the house yesterday. An Ohio guy, so he was wildly plugged in. So then I was able to jump in through that. There were high fives.
Oh, that's cool.
High-fiving about a Cleveland sports team. It was just that exciting.
I do love the finals, though. I mean, like, that's the finals. That's what actually pulled me into sports because I didn't grow up around sports. My dad doesn't know anything about sports at all.
Wait, figure skating's not a sport now?
I mean, you know, I don't – do you watch it and root for figure skaters
that's
at a bar?
Arrogant, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I do love Oksana Bayul, but yeah, it was the finals that drew me in.
That's cool.
I liked her before DUIs.
But
One last thing to put a bow on it. I think the coolest thing about what LeBron did was he purposely set out to make a legacy play when he left Miami and went to Cleveland. He had a vision quest to come back and deliver a championship and a 50-something year sports drought, and he pulled it off. Like, he could have gone anywhere, and he's like, no, I want to put this on my shoulders to give my city or my neck of the woods as the native son their
That'll
first
be a
championship.
Good 30 for 30.
Yes.
One day.
Hopefully better than Cleveland.
They just burned it. They just burned through.
I know.
Well, they say that they're adding a new ending now. So they were ready for
it. They ought to add a new beginning and middle, too.
Ouch, burn. All right. Here is the top three NFL players of all time, by the way.
Top three?
Curious. Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
So this is a pantheon of NFL.
Yes.
Okay.
But this cannot be disputed. I'm thinking about it right now. Number three, Tom Brady. Number two, Jerry Rice. Number one, Jim Brown.
It's hard to quibble. Mm. I mean,
no Cumberland.
Lawrence Taylor would be in my top five, and I think
no Joe Montana.
Number four, Joe Montana.
Mm. I think our Lawrence Taylor has to be top five.
Yeah
he's in. I have
LT top five.
I have similar, but I'd go Jim Brown number one. See the order, I didn't really work out the order completely, but I'm gonna go Tom Brady two, Lawrence Taylor three, Johnny Unitas four.
I have Johnny U in my.
He just seems like he has to be in that group. I don't know. You know, we didn't see him play. We don't know, but he's in that.
He invented the 2 minute drill and took the NFL from an afterthought in the 50s to the number one sport in the 60s.
Plus, you can't only have one quarterback in the top five. That's what I say. And Jerry Rice, fifth, I guess. But I'm not that excited about that.
Maybe, it's interesting if you ask Paul Brown, who coached Jim Brown, and Marion Motley, he says Marion Motley is the greatest football player in NFL history.
Wow. Belichick always talks up Motley as an underrated guy.
A lot of people who saw him play talk him up as the guy.
What about, like, Walter Payton? Where does he end up? And
he's
Reggie
in the
White?
Top 10. Yeah, they're both in the top 10.
He was on my slightly longer list when I was coming up with it, but not quite there.
I think Peyton Manning should be in the top 10.
I got to think about that list a little bit longer than just throwing it out there.
I'll tell you what, J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers are going north with a bullet, too.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk. Let's move on.
Oh, no. Another one?
I thought we were out
of
the
woods. What happened this time?
One of Mark's 10 favorite people ever, this woman.
Kobe Fleener is now a member of the New Orleans Saints, and Drew Brees is excited about the young tight end. Here's the quote from the Times-Picayune. We watched a lot of film on him last year just because we played in the AFC South, Brees said. It felt like every time we turned on the film to watch an opponent that we were about to play, I'm watching Colts film or Fleener film. It was like, man, this guy has an uncanny ability to separate. He's always open. There's always a place to throw the ball where he can get it. I feel like this is a trope because we've heard this about Fleener since he came into the league, that he's a dynamic pass catcher, but we haven't seen him put it together yet.
You don't want to get caught watching that Fleener film.
That was all right, Wes. Describe why or explain why.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that a guy who is fast for a tight end and pretty athletic but never catches the ball when anybody's within 3 feet of him is starring in off-season practices when no contact happens.
Exactly.
He's kind of averse to contact.
Pretty soft.
Whoa. Yeah. The always open guy in the off-season, Chris Hogan, nicknamed 7-11, is famous for being great at off-season. This is a time of year, and this doesn't make Sterling Shepard any worse. I'm sure he's – right. I would think he's off to a great start, and it's good. But this is the time of year that really favors guys who are quicker than fast, that can come in and out of breaks quickly.
Absolutely.
Drew Brees is hoping that he's always open because look at his receivers, Brandon Cooks and Michael Thomas.
I'm always reminded of a Rex Ryan quote about Chris Ivory this time of year. He's a power runner. There's nothing you can judge him on before the tackling starts.
And my take on it is I think Fleener will be a useful player there. But if he had four seasons with Andrew Luck, one of the best quarterbacks on the planet, to become a star in that type of offense, I think it would happen by now. I guess it could happen with Drew Brees, another great talent, but I don't see it happening.
Brees uses his tight end. Look, he got Ben Watson paid this year.
Mm-hmm. And he'll probably go right to him. He could definitely be his number one guy.
Good place to go to.
Yes.
Nice move.
It wouldn't surprise me if statistically he has his best season.
All right. Over-under game real quick, Wes.
All right.
Kobe Fleener, 65 catches.
I'll go over.
Wow. 900 yards.
I'm going over again.
Ooh.
8 touchdowns.
Under.
Well, you're saying, you know,
it's
borderline
too soft to
Pro
catch
Bowl.
A lot of touchdowns.
Borderline
I'm saying
Pro Bowl type season.
The Saints offense manufactures numbers. I'm not saying Kobe Fleener will be a great player.
Okay.
I'm saying the numbers will be there because of that offense.
He's got to hold on to the ball, too, a little bit better.
They'd be very happy if you were right about those numbers, Christopher.
That's what's happening in the news. Before we move on, I just want to touch on this because it came up before the show started. We did our segment last week, Unsolved Mysteries of the NFL. And you told us, Colleen, that your hub, Gonzo,
there's a connection there.
Actually was on Unsolved Mysteries, or his family was.
Well, Robert Stack, who you guys were talking about, he talked about a case that has to do with John's family. So John's family, John's grandfather actually disappeared in Las Vegas in the late 80s.
Oh.
And so they talked about it on the show. And, like, his mom and his grandmother were all over, like, local news and stuff. And basically he owned a bar out there. And he would call his wife every night before he left the bar and then every night when he got home because she was living in Philadelphia at the time. And one night he called her before he left the bar and then that was it. And then they found his car. And it's just been a cold case ever since.
For 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a sad story.
So if anybody has any tips, you can tweet me. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, that
Dang.
Was – it's a really outrageous story.
All right.
They still got him working in shifts on that case?
All right. If you know anything about this, there's no update that we could throw up that would make it happen.
No update whatsoever.
Email us at findgonzosgrandpa @gmail.com.
Great. Thanks for helping in this.
We're just doing our part.
Yeah, but
make light of a missing persons case.
No, it's just like it's such a weird and crazy story. And when you guys started talking about Robert Stack, it's obviously like the first thing I thought
he's
of.
Dead.
Right. Mark confirmed on the last show he's still dead. Do you ever draw any parallels? Because you've been doing a long distance marriage too. Like, do you call when you're about to leave NFL now for the day? Call Philadelphia where John Gonzalez, your husband, is, and then call when you get home. That
you know, I think that this is a great suggestion. I should probably start doing that.
A stacking question by
Rosenthal.
Just got eerie.
So hopefully I will not have any more connections with the show.
All right. Find Gonzo's grandpa @gmail.com. Man, Vegas too, huh?
Vegas.
Why are you putting your hand over your face?
I don't know.
It just got something a little bit not right about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you. John will be the judge.
I know. John's going to be thrilled about this, I'm sure.
All right. Moving on. Moving on. It is time, again, this segment, this next segment, this will not be unsolved because we're going to give, I guess it is kind of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
Anyway, this will be a game where we go around the horn. Each of us will lay out a plausible scenario that could face a team this upcoming season. And then we discuss how that team would go about, you know, dealing with the situation that has arisen. The name, is that a word? Arisen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a word.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm. The name of this segment is... Uh-oh, now what? What do you guys think of that one?
It's perfect.
Brown car.
Maybe you can try it. All right, we'll try some
I
different
need that.
Ones.
No, it's perfect. I need that in my life.
That should stick.
Uh-oh, now what?
It's perfect.
Think of the chisels. Irish did a great job with the... I asked Irish. I said, Irish, I need something like kind of like clowny. And that's what he came up with.
That's his clowny as you can.
Yeah.
He's got a good shot at getting on Rushmore.
That's Jadeveon.
All right. Listen, that's the type of joke by Wes that usually we'd miss, and then all his followers be like, oh, Wes, they don't pay attention to you. Good bit, Wes. I like that.
Yeah.
Jadeveon clowny.
You're like 1 for 400 now in your career for recognizing my bits.
Jadeveon clowny, former first-round pick of the Houston Texans. All right, Colleen.
Okay. So
get us going.
This might be, I know you said it's got to be a plausible scenario. This might be a little bit of a reach.
Okay.
But I didn't want to go with a quarterback situation. So, after Carolina's front seven can only mask so much, the Panthers' secondary gets picked apart. Kirk Coleman, he tries to fill that leadership role lost by Roman Harper and Charles Tillman when they left. But the young guys, they're pressing too much. There's too much pressure, and they end up getting shredded.
Mm.
So... you're left with Dave Gettleman and Ron Rivera sitting in a dark, hot room together. Now what?
Uh-oh. Now what? All right, Cliff's notes.
All right, so it really worries me. I know that Dave Gettleman drafted 3 straight corners. He drafted the one guy, James Bradbury, who is sort of like Josh Norman, same stature, big guy. But you have Kirk Coleman as the only returning veteran there. And you have Benwickery, who's, I mean, he went from nickel. He's now playing full-time. But you have a lot
might
of young...
as well young... bidet Benwickery.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I stand corrected. But he has a lot of young guys here. And, yeah, the front seven's really awesome. But it worries me.
I wasn't correcting you. I was making a bidet joke.
Bidet. Yeah. Bidet. No, I'm just going to go bidet Benwickery from now on.
So now what is you place a phone call to Charles Tillman. Who just came out over the weekend and says, I only want to play for the Panthers. He's not ready to return from his torn ACL yet, but by the, you know, early in the season, I guess, is when this meeting's happened after the secondary gets shredded. Bring old Chuck Tillman back in.
Now what is, I like Chuck Tillman, I like Chaz Tillman being involved. Now what is, you find a time machine and get over your own ego and keep Josh Norman in town for one more year because you never know how open your Super Bowl window
is. That's not realistic.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not plausible.
All right.
Okay, well, that's what you say.
Well, I think the other thing that you do is you're like, all right, we still play in the NFC South, and we're still 10 times better than any other team, so we're just going to sit on this and see how it plays out.
Yeah, now what I think is you don't do anything.
You
expect the system to eventually correct itself. They get better by the end of the year. You count on Cam Newton, the MVP, and Kelvin Benjamin and Funchess to just score more points, and now what might just be you win 9 or 10 games or 11 games, you're not as good as you were a year ago. But I don't know if there's going to be some magic solution in the middle of this season for this if this happens.
It's fair.
All right, Wes, you're up.
It's early December. Kirk Cousins is exposed, as Greg Rosenthal wrote during the 2015 season, as a guy who basically had one good half season, played poorly in the first half of last year, had one good half season against miserable defenses, soft defenses. He's exposed in early December as a mediocre quarterback who's not going to be getting a long-term contract. Mm-hmm. DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon contracts expire after the 2016 season. You're planning for the future in Washington. Now what?
Ooh. Now what? What do you think of that one?
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
That was the dramatic rendering. Let's hear it one more time. Now what?
How long did you spend recording these?
Yeah.
That was my morning.
You still need to finish, you know, your classes at the Istook School of Voiceover. Pretty good. Now what I believe is you offer Kirk Cousins a 2-year, $26 million contract that's sub premier quarterback money.
You fits him.
Yeah, you fits him. You see if he takes it, And Kirk Cousins is the type of guy, I think, that might just take it because that situation with the talent that's there, you stick
that's
around.
That's the thing, though. Is the talent still going to be there if DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon leave?
Well, maybe they keep one or the other.
Well, Dotson's the real deal.
You still have Dotson. You have Jameson Crowder. You have Jordan Reed.
Reed, yeah.
Those are guys that are going to be around. Either way, you're offering him that contract. If he doesn't want to take it, that's fine. You can go out in the open market because you're drafting some quarterbacks either way.
What is?
Because that contract should not prevent you from drafting another one.
What's the hardest find commodity in the NFL? A quarterback, right? And this guy, you're saying he's still going to have an okay – it's going to be an okay season, but it's going to show that he wasn't really as good as he was at
We're talking about
year.
A guy who before the middle of last season had the highest interception rate, I believe, in NFL history.
So does he becomes that guy?
He turns back
so
into a
bad.
Pumpkin at midnight.
Wow.
Okay, if he's actually bad, I think Greg has the right play on this.
If he's actually bad, they don't offer him anything.
Mm. So right. That's no. what, and but you're now you, what, that's what happened.
They do a right. trade for a veteran quarterback to have there for a young guy, too, just for to have the year so they're not in the Jared Goff Rams situation.
I mean, you forget, at this time last year, even August of last year, when he outplays RG3 in the first preseason game and people are talking about him being the better quarterback, conventional wisdom around the league is Kirk Cousins is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, that he's not a viable starter. Year can change a lot.
Maybe Scott McLuhan, the Redskins GM, go calls up his old buddy Colin Kaepernick.
That's what I was just thinking.
There you go.
That would be, by the way,
I don't know if that would work with Jay Gruden or what, but
that would be brilliant work by the front office. It would be a bummer if he came down to earth, but that they were able to dodge that long-term deal.
Yeah.
If you recall, Mike Brown wanted to draft Colin Kaepernick, and Jay Gruden basically convinced him to draft Andy Dalton instead.
Maybe you send the Godfather offer to Cincinnati for Andy Dalton.
That would be so weird.
Godfather offering for Dalton in the world. Meanwhile, on the throne of sleaze.
Oh, no.
Shocking.
I had to know we were going here.
Which one is this? The atomic bomb one?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
Because it's not the worst situation.
Got it.
It's sleazy, yes.
Stormy.
Yeah, this is the throne of sleaze. I don't know if you've heard, but Tom Brady is suspended the first four games of the 2016 season. I do believe, in my capacity as someone that follows the NFL very closely, that this suspension will stand. And Jimmy Garoppolo, their former second-round pick, was he?
Yes.
Yep, in the 2014 draft, will make four starts. And here it comes. So what if Jimmy Garoppolo plays lights out for 4 weeks? Pats go 4-0. He pulls like a LeBron in the finals where he leads – all quarterbacks in every relevant statistic. All right, maybe let me take.
This is a plausible
I'm gonna take
scenario.
It back. I'm gonna take
Why
it
not?
Back. I'm gonna take it
it's
back.
Not plausible at all.
He won't do that. But they go 4-0. He plays lights out. He's leading the league in passer rating. He's not throwing picks. He's playing exactly best case scenario how they hoped he would play. That this time spent seasoning under Brady would lead to him stepping into the lineup and almost playing like Brady when he took over Bledsoe, but much better statistically in a new era. And then Tom Brady comes back, and like my other part two of my prediction about the Patriots, he's still very good, but we start to see some signs of decline, real signs of decline where his interception rate's up, his yards per attempt is down, his completion percentage is down. He still performs at a high level, but he starts to show his age at age 39, which is completely plausible. Then you go to the offseason, 2016-17 offseason. Brady's under contract through 2018, I believe. What do the Patriots do? They have a young quarterback who is ready to be a star and a Hall of Fame veteran who is showing some signs of decline as age 40 approaches.
They pick up the phone and
wait,
call.
Let me finish. Now what? Now what? What now? Now what? What
oh
now?
Oh, my God. They pick up the phone.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, by the way.
I didn't think that was.
That was like the Euro dance version
that was
or
the,
something?
That was the Euro.
That was like Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cop.
Cop, yeah.
Harold Faltermeyer version.
It was a dance club in Germany in 2156. Listen. Now what? What now? Now what? What now?
You're wearing neon. I'm seeing that in it. Yeah. Right. They call Scott McLuhan.
Oh.
This is getting meta.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine.
To trade who?
Brady.
Whoa!
No!
Here's what you do. You do what every coach in the NFL always does. You delay the decision until you have to make one, And Tom Brady's under contract. Garoppolo's under contract for another 2 years after that. So Brady remains the starter, and you have the best possible insurance out there.
But you'll never have Garoppolo at a higher value for a trade, because if you wait it out, I see what you're saying, and let's say Brady does kind of crash at age 40, then Garoppolo steps in and
you're,
he's the guy.
You're an annual Super Bowl contender. You don't go out making trades just to compile draft picks. You keep your best roster possible.
Right.
This is a golden opportunity to build for the future, because the Tom Brady days don't last forever.
Well, in this scenario, I think there's one thing you can't do, and that's trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Keeping Jimmy Garoppolo is the thing you absolutely must do, because
of course
you've identified a franchise quarterback for the next X amount of years, and that's the most valuable thing out there. So if you do anything, you vary under the radar. You only with teams that don't let it out into the media. Maybe you listen to see what the Godfather offers are for Tom Brady.
No,
most likely,
don't.
There won't even be good enough.
You don't even listen
they
because
won't even
he's
be good
earned
enough.
More respect than that.
Maybe that's true. You can't trick me into saying you're going to trade
it's true,
Tom Brady.
That's...
I won't do it.
I already got you. I already got you.
Greg getting caught in his own headset.
You didn't get him.
It was yanked off your headset. You got so flummoxed. You're trading Tom Brady for a bag of footballs. I got you, baby.
Please.
A bag of deflated footballs.
Underinflated footballs.
Please. I think you're right, though.
Deflategate reference.
Oh, my God.
Scott McLuhan in the Redskins might be a good team to call. Think how much Dan Snyder would give up for,
right?
for Tom
Subject
Brady.
Changer.
If they give up 5-6 first-round picks, hey, it's a cold
what
world
if
out
the
there.
Jets, what if Big Mac picked up the phone?
Can't trade him.
That would never
and
happen.
And offered three number one picks for Tom Brady.
Oh, that's not enough. Not from the Jets. Especially.
You can't trade him to somebody in the division.
Because you wouldn't want Tom to go there and potentially.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
Okay. Why not?
If Tom Brady really wanted to get out and you got some great offer, three or four first-round picks or something, you know.
That's what I just said. Though Tom's on
but
board.
Not to the Jets.
I can't imagine he would want to get out.
That's getting out of the division.
Well, I don't think Tom Brady would be thrilled to be in this conversation. He would want to make it clear. I mean, this guy that we just put on, you know, the top five players of all time was traded away. Not only that, he was benched in the middle of his prime at one point. I mean,
there's very.
I'll just talk about
Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah, benched for Steve Young.
That's what I'm saying.
Just as a sports fan, these things, there's very few, you know, Derek Jeters. These things don't always end smoothly at the end of a career. It can get sloppy. It could get sloppy.
By the way,
Garoppolo is a stud.
By the way, that's reason number one why Tom Brady's better than Joe Montana. You don't hear about him getting benched for some backup.
I do like
until next season.
This is a hypothetical.
Montana
season.
Was like 34 years old when it happened.
I do like, by the way, that Dan's scenario to make a messy end to Tom Brady's career involves the Patriots finding another great franchise quarterback. That's the best you can do. They're going 4-0. This sounds great.
Not to mention him trading right. Brady to the Jets, and then Brady sucks with the Jets. Right. Totally blows up in my team's face. Finally, Greg.
Well, I had a Falcons-related one, but that doesn't seem so excited. So I'm going to take
the one that.
Don't shoehorn the Falcons into our pod just because you feel
Colleen
bad for
Wolf.
Him.
No, yeah. I had a scenario, but this one's more exciting. It's more.
I thought this one was really good.
Well, this was the suggestion from the man, old Bird Dog.
Who's Bird Dog?
You know,
Chris, right? Was that his name?
Bone Dog?
Oh, Bone Dog.
Chris Bonner,
yeah, Chris Bonner, Bone Dog.
This was his idea, but it makes all the sense in the world. Sam Bradford leads the Eagles to the playoffs with a playoff victory. You got Carson Wentz sitting back there on the bench. What now?
Oh, man.
Now what?
That's my favorite.
The clown one is perfection.
That's really good.
All right, let's do a turn and let's pick the best one. First clown. Uh-oh. Now what? All right, then the other finalist, the panic man.
man. Now what?
I'm definitely voting for the second one. I don't even think it's close.
Panic I love
man?
The clown one.
Panic man.
Panic man. If we could get the horn, the clown horn on the panic man, that would be really great.
It can be done. It can be done.
Yes.
All right.
So Howie Roseman picks up the phone. He's feeling good about himself because maybe Carson Wentz does show some like really good things in relief of this like amazing Sam Bradford performance. So maybe people are like, oh, now they're interested in Carson Wentz. So maybe Howie Roseman now calls his old friend Chip Kelly. Maybe there's a scenario there. Or Trent Baalke, I guess it would be.
Well, who does he trade?
Carson Wentz.
He trades Carson Wentz.
No.
Wow. You'd have to get a lot of picks.
No, yeah. You trade Sam Bradford.
This is a good
I mean, is this
Sam
a
– How good is Bradford? What are we talking here?
We said he made the playoffs. He won a playoff game. He was a top 10 quarterback, like at the back end. Like a good Eli Manning type of season at the very
like
least.
Like Matt trade, Ryan last year?
Yeah, a little
you
better.
You trade Sam Bradford as soon as humanly possible. And you keep in mind that he can't stay healthy, that he's been average for his entire career – and you factor all that data in with the one playoff victory he just came off of, which was basically Carson Palmer over the Packers.
What if you see nothing from Carson Wentz, though, during that time?
Right, and this is an NFL where it's always win now, and you got a guy in Bradford who's 30. You just start, you know, right in the middle of what would be his prime. It's tough to give up on. But I tend to agree that you see what's out there for Bradford. You can probably get a lot more picks, get some of those picks back that you gave up for Wentz.
History is instructive. The Chargers did this with Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, and they let Drew Brees walk.
Well, but he had a separated shoulder. I mean,
well, Sam Bradford's going to have a separated something in a few minutes.
Separated something.
I don't know if it was separated. You know, that would have been interesting to see what they do. Actually, Brees is probably going anyways, but that's another podcast.
Wow, that was fun, guys. Good stuff.
I liked it.
Good lived stuff.
Up, you covered your paper with a ton of doodles. So
lived up to your pre-show.
A lot of check marks.
Well, I think those that was during the Patriots discussion. He was just like maniacally making check marks on his paper.
Before Tom Brady retires, he will drive me mad officially. It's getting close.
Well, we knew – by the way, you had an unfair advantage with your pre-show grade. You knew all the now what theme songs that you had pre-recorded. That's what juiced it up.
I knew I had that in the back of my back pocket, but it also was just the feeling that once Wes challenged the group, that the group would like take it up a level. And I knew Wes by having – look at Wes's card here. He was going to go all in with his NBA segment and put a lot of effort into it to stick it to us. So I took all these different factors and I added them up, and it tasted like an A.
Yeah. Do you still feel that way?
I don't decide.
Okay.
I feel like people were robbed.
Who does?
They didn't even hear your whole list.
It's not even our show anymore. We give it to the audience. It's their show.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had Oscar Robertson 8th. Jerry West is in there at 11. Shaq. Well, I'm just saying you did this work. Want to get it out there.
Well, I didn't think that reading off a list was going to make for great podcast.
I blew my wife and
wow.
phrasing.
Good show, everyone.
I'll just leave it there. Yeah. I'm not even going to say what it is. I'm not even going to finish the point.
Oh.
Can we go back to giving MVPs for the show? That was TD's whole thing. Colleen wins it. That was great.
I got no. I'm not even going to finish the point.
Yeah. Where was that going?
You'll never know. Colleen's deeply perverted mind sent the whole thing down, and I'm proud. Down.
All right.
Here we go. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Cody Fox.
I need the panic man now.
Quit now.
The mailman. The boss. And Irish behind the glass. Follow him on Twitter. Till Wednesday.
Man, now what?